This podcast is, unsurprisingly, about sex and intended for adult listeners only. Episodes contain sexual content and some graphic language. If that's not your thing, this might not be the podcast for you. Welcome to episode 6 of On the Business of Sex. My name is Reba Kareen Thomas. In the first 5 episodes, we learned about what sex work is, how people get into the sex business, what kind of training is out there, the obstacles faced by people trying to make a living in this industry, and what their impact on the world is. I learned that sex work and work in the sex business provide pleasure. Yes, but more than that, they provide education, healing, and support. If you haven't listened to the first 5 episodes yet, I highly recommend that you do. I learned a lot, and I think you will too. In episode 6, I'm talking to entrepreneurs about something that exists for entrepreneurs in every industry: burnout. While burnout isn't particular to the sex industry, professionals who work in sex might experience it differently. So join me as I find out how my guests recognize and then deal with burnout in their jobs. Burnout is a buzzword. It may evoke angry bosses and grueling schedules and a healing bubble bath, but it can hit especially hard for people who are often their own angry bosses setting the grueling schedules. Yes, entrepreneurs can be very hard on themselves. Now, consider that in sex and sex-adjacent work, professionals often need to show up emotionally and meet their clients' needs. This can add an extra layer of exhaustion to the job. One of the most difficult things about burnout is recognizing it. Cleo Stiller pointed out that for some of us, overworking is the only modus operandi we know. This was her reaction when I asked her about recognizing burnout. Cleo's the journalist you heard from in episode 5.
Oh, gosh. I'm laughing because I had to, I'm in it right now. So I am someone who's extremely driven and has taken pride in being impervious to pain and discomfort. And that is really unhealthy. But that was what was modeled for me and is modeled for all of us in this capitalist society. Yeah. And so I raced. So I got into journalism when I, you know, in 2011, and I raced to the, air quoting, the top. Mm. And my goal was to have a television show. And I thought I would never really achieve that. And if I did, it wouldn't be till I was in my 40s. And then when I got it so young, I had this moment where it was the premiere of our first episode. And this was kind of this was my dream. I had worked so hard and I couldn't believe I'd gotten it so fast. And yet, I was alone. I was alone the night of the premiere. And, you know, I had sacrificed a relationship for the job, which I don't regret, but that there's a lot of loss in that. And I have friends and I had friends, but where I was mentally was so focused on just get there, just get it to air and do the thing, that the night of, I looked around and I was alone and I was exhausted and I just cried. And that was a real cue that something was not right or that I was not doing it the right way. And since then, I've been really mindful about looking, it's just so interesting when you create a dream, a goal in your head when you're younger, and you don't know anyone that actually does that, you You must know, right? I can see in your face. You create a fantasy about what it is to achieve that. And then often when you achieve it, you realize that that was not what you thought. And so then you have to reckon with, okay, so there's definitely some grief in the lost fantasy. But then your decision is like, okay, well, this is the reality of what it is. And do I like this? Like, do I actually like this? And I realized that it kind of, a lot of things came together at once. It was, you know, hosting a television show on the topic that of sex. We got a Peabody Award nomination for that, which was incredible and like shot. I was like, what? But the business of journalism is still a business, and Univision that exact year froze its production budgets, and they decided that the private equity owners decided to put it on the market. And so even though we told these incredible stories and we got the Peabody nom, there wasn't another season because the business end, and I had to look at, do we take this show somewhere else? And I also had to look at, can I take this show somewhere else and not wind up alone on another premiere night crying? Mm. And I just did not know. So then I got a book deal, and that's Modern Manhood. And I told myself, if I do this book, I'm moving. I need a different approach to things. So I actually just moved to Denver.
Oh, wow. Denver. From where were you?
Manhattan.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big change of pace.
Yeah, that's a big change of pace. I mean, check in with me in a couple of years, but I just thought, I looked around and I was like, I'm not going to go out like this. Like, I can't, you know, I was born in New York. I never thought I was going to leave. And so to the point of burnout, I feel like I didn't know until I had snapped. And even then, I had to have several other major, you know, I mean, I obviously would never have chosen for Univision to freeze its budgets. But so there were so many things that the universe kind of put in front of me. And then I thought, oh, does it not have to be this way? Are you, so you're saying like I have a choice here? So that's like, I mean, I would hope that anyone listening to me learns from that, like get a little, you know, like don't block out all the signals ahead of the break. But some, you know.
Cleo's story is a perfect example of what not to do. But how can we learn to recognize when we're near a breaking point if we've been conditioned to value our professional identities over our personal lives? In the business of sex, we have to be very vulnerable all the time. But as my mother says, you can't pour into others with an empty cup. Taking emotional space for ourselves is necessary.
It's balanced too, because I tend to be like a feast or famine kind of person. And so like I take on, I'm trying to condition myself away from this, but I'm attracted to projects that are massive demands in the short term. They're sprints. And then you like tap out, but you're like traumatized because it was so, so much work.
That feast or famine mindset is probably familiar to a lot of people. It's quite common for entrepreneurs to have that binary outlook of all or nothing. But setting boundaries keeps our personal lives healthy and our relationships strong.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I see burnout everywhere, I'll tell you. I see burnout everywhere, but particular to this industry, it can also, I'm sure you feel this, like if you're not careful of taking enough rest and setting enough boundaries because of the nature of the content we deal with, it can bleed into your personal life, like it can bleed into your relationship. So you really have to just be mindful of that.
As people who work in pleasure, we need to make sure we're taking time for pleasure in our own lives.
Well, what becomes pleasurable when your line of work is pleasure, right?
Sometimes the answer is very, very simple.
Yeah, Somebody asked me the other day, how do I stay so organized and how do I kind of keep everything afloat? And my very first answer to people and things that I ask people to look at, if they have the ability to and really the luxury to and the privilege to, is people's sleep schedule. Like, you have to be getting sleep. You have to be well rested. You really, like, the level to which you are rested really informs your well-being and mental health as a priority, and secondary, your production as a whatever your career is. So I sleep. I get my sleep. I have a consistent sleep schedule, and I get that at any cost. It doesn't matter what the fuck, like, period. And that has largely impacted my functioning in all ways. So that's really important. And I think that there's an entire, like, Instagram page dedicated to naps, the nap ministry. So if you need any motivation around sleeping and napping, go look at their page, because they will literally make you feel like, wow, bitch, I need to go take a nap.
You've heard from Raquel Savage in our other episodes. She's a sex coach, sex educator, and sex worker.
Yeah. So I've, for the past, it was one of my New Year's Eve resolutions. But yeah, to go to sleep when I feel tired and to wake up when I feel rested and without an alarm waking me up. And I've done that now for 2 years, and it has really changed everything for me. So that's like a preventative thing. And I think for most people, when I talk about burnout, I like to talk to them about preventative things as opposed to fixing, because the whole point is, like, coming up with all of these coping skills on the back end ignores that there are options for preventing. So sleep, I sleep. I also try to be better about my boundary setting to make sure that I'm not over committing myself. I also don't have stigma, shame, guilt, or whatever around productivity. I don't feel like someone where my productivity is tied to my value. If I'm not working, if I'm not doing, if I'm not achieving, then I'm not valuable. I don't have that. But for folks who do have that value, and I would call it a trauma, figuring out how to unpack that, because that's kind of what's going to inform your ability to rest and your ability to say no and have boundaries. So sleep, boundary setting, for sure, are like my preventative things. I also try to make sure that I'm getting outside and I'm moving. So I like to try to decolonize fitness in the sense that I'm not trying to be skinny or lose weight. I'm trying to move because that's beneficial to me, is to be in my body, be present in my body, and make sure that I'm having movement. So I go out and I ride a bike, I go out and I kayak, or I go out and I take a walk, or I go swimming, or I do some yoga, or whatever the fuck, but I get in my body and I try to get active. And those things make me feel good. And then I try to do as much, like, things that I would consider, like, regular self-care shit as much as possible. And for me, that also includes, like, writing. I do a lot of, like, reflective writing, free writing, just whatever the fuck is on my mind to get it out. And that's also really important for me as a therapist, because I have to show up emotionally for a lot of people. So I have to make sure that I'm emotionally capable of doing that. And that reflects largely on my emotional, where I am emotionally.
Yeah.
So that's, like, all of my preventative stuff. And then sometimes, and I think the pandemic is a really good example of that, is that things happen that are totally out of your control that kind of objectively impact and impair your functioning in a way that you're not prepared to deal with, even if you have all the preventative measures in place.
Yeah.
So by proxy of just the pandemic happening, I've been more stressed out. I've had less tolerance for everything. Doesn't matter how rested I am, I'm still feeling sad and depressed and less emotionally available. And so just doing my best on the back end of that to kind of delegate my responsibilities to other folks. If I have the opportunity, so that I'm not doing everything, taking more breaks, literally just more downtime, when, if and when I can, doing more things that allow me to feel connected to my support system. Support systems are so, so, so important. And making sure that I'm being proactive about asking for support. I think that's something that I've definitely learned is really important during the pandemic, is like, we require our support systems. And sometimes that means asking, hey, I don't know what your capacity is right now. I could really use some support. This is what I need. Are you willing to, or are you able to provide that? And also, what do you need in return, if anything? I've done that so many times over the past few months. But I think, so those are the preventative and like back end things. But I think I recognize that I'm burnt out when I'm sitting. It has to really be probably when I'm sitting in session with folks therapy wise, and I'm not paying attention, and I'm noticing myself go off into other places, or I'm noticing myself respond in ways that I know are not things I would normally say if I wasn't agitated or tired or whatever. And then probably with sex work, it's that I just don't work. Like if I'm not working, if I'm not doing, if I'm not shooting content, if I'm not, when I was a full service sex worker, like not seeing clients, no desire to see clients, that's how I know, like, all right, something's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a hard thing to recognize too, right? Like it kind of sneaks up on you. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, well, I'm going to take a day to day. I just don't feel like it. But then like you look up and that day was like 3 days, and now it's been 5 days, and now it's been seven, and where's the money? Okay.
Yeah. So. Exactly. Yeah, I think, and I really do think that some of these conversations about burnout are really just so privileged, and it's such a luxury to even talk about burnout, because you know, because we talk about burnout in like our grad programs when we are learning about being a counselor. And I think it just really overlooks the fact that there are so many folks who, A, aren't able to recognize that they're burnt out. And that's because they're in a constant state of being burnt out and traumatized. And also that they don't have the option to take a day, to take a time to go fucking ride a bike. Like, that's just not an option. So recognizing that it is a luxury and a privilege to even have the conversation, and just trying to be as mindful and in touch with yourself as possible about navigating that to the best of your ability.
This podcast is brought to you by Switch and Board Podcast Studios in DuPont Circle in Washington, D.C. Check us out online at switchandboard.com to learn about our remote services. Switch and Board, a podcast studio for you.
As a Black woman, I recognize there's a certain luxury in being able to acknowledge and address burnout. When you're taught to operate in a state of perpetual burnout, it can be a huge privilege to even know what burnout is, let alone what it might look like for someone who hasn't been conditioned to recognize it. Laura DiCarlo knows about burnout. As a CEO of a growing sex tech company, she has a lot of experience with being overworked and looking for balance. I asked Laura how she recognizes burnout in herself.
Oh, I'm still getting there on that one. How I recognize burnout, sadly, right now, if I get there, then it's probably a little too late for me. But what I do in order to mitigate it, I suppose, is probably a better answer, a better question for me is, you know, making sure that I protect my time. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, my work is my life. So having the ability to set boundaries ahead of time before I hit that burnout is absolutely essential. So, you know, I'll let people know, like, you know, these are my boundaries. Like, this is the time I'm available. And there are a lot of people on my team, which I literally, like, every single person on my entire team has my cell phone. Every single one of them knows that they can call me at any time. And I have a lot, like, we work with influencers too. And there are a lot of people in this industry, you can call me at any time. But there are moments where I do need to set those boundaries. And I think the thing that helps me reset, probably more than anything, is probably adrenaline. I am an adrenaline junkie. And I go out and I look for that high on the weekends. I kiteboard, I mountain bike, I rock climb, I road bike, I ski. And you know, just to unplug, like I'll take time out during the day, like even if it's just like half an hour here or there, to read or dance. I actually danced for nearly 27 years, point ballet, jazz and hip hop. And so I'll find time to like just go dance it out for a little bit, or cooking, or just creating new music, art, or choreography. And but more than anything, I don't know if it's the task or like the application, it's It's making sure that you make that time for yourself, which is, it's hard to do, because when you're like, when you're working away, all you want to do is keep working and make sure that, you know, you can get to that next stage, that you can scale just a little bit further. But the problem is, if you continue to scale and you're pushing yourself that hard, you're going to hit a wall and all of that work will be for naught.
Setting boundaries is key. Having hobbies is another great way to channel your stress and practice creativity. Ashley Cobb is a good example of how working in sex education can be draining.
Burnout is, for me, is like, I am not an extrovert at all. I'm an introvert. So, I'm more probably like an ambivert. What is it? The mix of the two, whatever. I can't think of the correct term. But like, I like being around people, but I like being around people that I know. I mean, and like for me, anything where I have to be on a lot and around people, being on, just like drains me. That is like part, one of the reasons why those workshops I was doing last year, I was like, I can't do this. Cause one, I gotta be gone from my house for hours. I like being in the house. And two, I do. Like, I like being home. And then two, like, I'm here. I got to be on in front of these people. And I got to do the same thing again tomorrow or the next week or whenever. And it just like, it was like, I'm just burnt out. I like having my time. I like being able to hang out with my friends and my families or sit on my couch and do nothing. So so for me, when I start feeling like, I don't know, like, I don't want to be bothered. Like, I know I'm burnt out. When I was teaching, I was burnt out because I was like, I don't know. I think like, I don't like doing this no more. It just wasn't fun anymore for me. And that's how it was. That's when I knew I was burnt out and ready to do something else.
I asked Ashley how she typically handles burnout when she experiences it.
I stopped doing what I was doing. So, for me, like, for example, with the workshops, I just stopped doing them. I was like, okay, when November, I'm not doing it anymore. And I stopped. And then I didn't even start doing any workshops again until March because we were all locked in. And I was like, okay, I'll do some on virtual online. And it's like, okay, cool. And even with that, this, like, I was doing them once a month. And even with that, like, last month, I was like, yeah, I'm tired of doing this.
I'm doing three a month, and I'm tired. Yeah. I'm just tired.
I was doing once a month, and it was cool, and it's fine, but I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this anymore. And so I listened to my body. Like, I listened to like how I feel about stuff. And I'm not going to be doing anymore once a month workshops. Like, if you want to book a private one with me and your friends, cool. But those are not guaranteed every month. It's whenever people book me. And then by the time you pay all the money, you know, whatever is worth, you know, my time.
Right. Exactly. No. That's so smart. That is so smart, right? Because, yeah.
So like,
my lady.
I just knew that like, I don't want to do this. So I just stopped doing it. And I think some people, I don't know. I got to the point where I was like, well, maybe I should keep doing it. Cause it makes me, I do make money from it. And, you know, maybe I shouldn't stop doing that. You know, I'll mess up, but I'm a firm believer in listening to what your body and all this stuff is telling you. Mm-hmm. If it's telling you like, I don't do it no more, then don't do it. You can always pick it back up later if you so decide to.
Just stop. What a novel idea. That shows some of the flexibility of being your own boss. Having the ability to stop an activity that you're burned out on is a real benefit to owning your own business. King Noir knows all about being a business owner.
My name is King Noir. I am a adult entertainer, master fetish trainer. I am co-owner of both Royal Fetish Films and Jet Setting Jasmine LLC, which is a multimedia adult entertainment company. We do everything from films to classes to traveling the world doing kinky pop-up and fantasy flight parties to help people figure out, acknowledge, and live their kinks and fetishes in an orgasmic and safe way.
I asked him how he knows when it's time to take a break to avoid burnout.
When I feel like I can't just compartmentalize one session from the next or one shoot from the next or one interaction from the next, and it's just all kind of running together in a in like a flow towards my frustration or something like that. I think that that's when it's you know, you need to step back, and it might not be like, oh, I need a vacation, but it might be like, I need to step back from overbooking myself, or working with this particular client, or shooting with this company, or working with this person, you know? So there are a lot of different levels. And I think, you know, I've never gotten to the point where I'm just like, man, fuck all this shit. I need to be out. But I definitely have had some moments where it's like, you know, this working with this particular company or something is not good for me. I need to step away from them, or this client might be problematic, or this other performer seems to always be involved in something that takes the shoot in a direction, or the other performers in a direction that we don't need to go in. So I think that's kind of what I do, so I don't get all the way like in flames Hindenburg situation. I definitely try to nip it in the bud whenever possible.
He's found a way to preserve his energy. He also has a strategy to reset when it all becomes too much.
Me? Music is always a relief for me. It's writing, vibing, exercise, working out, playing basketball, hitting the heavy bag, hitting the speed bag, all of that is good for resetting.
But it's not just work that can burn you out. Personal events can take it out of you too. Ava Mystique, a burlesque performer you heard from in previous episodes, was in burnout recovery when we spoke.
So that is where I am right now. I'm at a hotel right now, away from my partner and my daughter, because we just moved. And what else did happen? Okay. So I had my niece over for a week and she was over while we were moving. Mm-hmm. And I also had like some virtual shows I had to do, live shows. And so in the midst of like moving and taking care of two children at different ages, I just got overwhelmed. Burnout looks like my Instagram right now. It's dry. I have not posted in a while. But it also means like communicating. So I woke up the other day and I have PTSD. I have a lot of mental health stuff. So I woke up and I didn't know where I was for a moment, and I didn't recognize my partner for a moment, and I started crying and got panicked, and then it ruined my day. Usually when I have those episodes, it just ruins the whole day. And my partner's very sensitive to it. We've been together for so long. She knows when it's happening. So, I tend to have those kind of PTSD like moments or flashbacks or whatever when I get super stressed. So mm-hmm. It was kind of like the, you know,
morning,
I
don't time. Even
know. Yeah. Yeah. Cherry on the pie, right?
Yeah.
So it was a culmination over like maybe 2 weeks of like so much stress and like working without any kind of break. And then I had my little thing. So I just told her, my niece was still there. My daughter was like up, and it was like, listen, can you just take them to the park for a few hours? And I just need a moment like to myself. And it really was a moment, because they were gone for like 2 hours and I was like, where are you guys at?
Come back.
But that's one thing. I'm so grateful that I have a partner who understands my triggers and isn't scared by it and can support me. And then honestly, it wasn't enough. So she took the kids for a little while, but I was still like pretty heavy. So she got me a hotel room. If I had the money, I would have gotten myself a hotel room, but I didn't have it. So she got me a hotel room, and she invited my friends too and said, I'm going to let you guys go and have a girls' night, stay at the hotel tonight, order some food, chill out, and I'll see you tomorrow. Now I realize that's a privilege, both like with having a partner and having expendable income to do that.
Yeah.
So I apologize for that, because if you aren't able to do that, I know that that's like, that sounds like a dream. Like 2 weeks ago, that sounds like a dream for me too. But if you don't have the income to do that, or a partner to support you in that way, I think that nature is helpful. When I take a walk, literally take a walk, getting vitamin D, getting sunshine on my face, putting my feet in the grass, like really getting away from, we've been in a pandemic, so being inside is like drives us crazy, you know, cabin fever, getting fresh air, getting sunlight, and just having a moment of like silence really does help me reset. And I like tea and weed.
Yeah. Yes to all of those things. Yeah.
Drug positive.
No, cannabis was, I was a cannabis advocate before I got into sex positivity.
I love that. That's one of the many reasons I love you.
Aww.
But yeah, I use cannabis as like medicinally. So like I mentioned, I have anxiety, I have depression, I have PTSD. So when I'm feeling very, very anxious, and the pandemic has definitely done that for me, it's my anxiety is borderline agoraphobic at times. I like an indica. when I can't get out of bed and it's like too much to like just get the motivation to shower, wake and bake with a sativa. Mm-hmm. That helps a lot. But I'm also, as much as like pro green as I am, I'm also like anti depending on something to be okay.
Yeah.
So although I do use it, you know, medicinally, I do try to meditate. I'm into like Yoruba sensitivity, that kind of stuff. So like talking to my ancestors, things like that. I don't know. I'm a Libra. It's like always two sides of my coin. I'm like, yes, but also you don't need it.
There's a fine line between indulgence and numbing. And when you become dependent on a behavior or a substance to relax, you might not be recharging your batteries as much as you think. And even when your work is fulfilling and you feel passionate about it, you can still burn out. This is pornographer Stoya.
Yeah, and it's a part of life, no matter how awesome your job is, no matter how fulfilling it is. Like, it's just like some days, like, I don't want to.
That's right. Some days, you just don't want to. That's a good sign that you need a little break. But recovery from burnout can be a privilege. Close relationships with supportive people isn't something that everyone has. The freedom to be able to take time off from work is a privilege. Heck, even a bubble bath isn't accessible to everyone. It just goes to show that even though all entrepreneurs feel burnout at some point, many of us struggle to recognize and act on it. We're lucky if we have the tools and support to do either of those things. But remembering that sex work is work can help those experiencing burnout from work and sex-related industries feel validated. Do you feel burnout in your work? Do you also have a job where you need to be on or emotionally present? What's your favorite way to prevent and deal with burnout? I'd love to hear from you. I'd like to thank our guests for this episode, Cleo Stiller, Raquel Savage, Laura DiCarlo, Ashley Cobb, King Noir, Ava Mystique, and Stoya. GLITS is a New York-based organization that approaches the health and rights crises faced by transgender sex workers holistically using harm reduction, human rights principles, economic and social justice, along with a commitment to empowerment and pride in finding solutions from within the community. To learn more about GLITS and support this important work, visit www.glitsinc.org. That's GLITSINC.org. Want to do your part to support sex workers? Every episode will highlight an organization just like this one that you can support that's actively advocating for the rights of marginalized sex workers. Visit their website, make a donation, and get involved. On the Business of Sex is produced by me, Reba Thomas, with Switch and Board Podcast Studio in Washington, D.C.
Switch and Board.